Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's the Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe.
It's the Dork Podcast
and Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ramage Control, Vaughn Damage Control. All hail the King of Ginger Ales, Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Feeling just fine, man. How are you today?
I'll tell you, it's been quite a month. Very good. Can't complain. What a month for you, though, between the Odyssey and a Spider-Man movie and an Evil Dead movie. I really don't think you could have three movies come out in the same month that would be more up your alley than those three.
It's the summer of Ryan. What can I say? Everything's going swimmingly for me this summer.
Everything's great, including what's at the theater. So, yeah, I hear you. You know what's not great? We're going to dive right into the topic du jour so we can spend the most amount of time on the topic du jour. But speaking of the MCU, news this week that Wonder Man canceled. They picked it up for season two, and then they were like a few months later, they're like, just kidding, we didn't. It's done.
Weird. This has to be like a pure financial thing, right? Like this has to just be like a...
Well, I know during Comic-Con, Feige said something like, well, it's going to be way more... quality than quantity, but I thought he was just referring to the films. I don't know if he meant like everything, because season one got pretty good reviews. You and I both liked it. We talked about it, and it's the guy that did this movie, Destin Daniel Cretton, the director of our topic du jour. He did Wonder Man, and you're like, I don't know. It seemed like a fun show. I don't really get it.
It was a really good idea, like that kind of like meta aspect to it, which I really liked. But apparently no one else did in the Marvel camp.
Speaking of that, Tyler in the chat is asking, are we going to skip the Bear episode? I guess we could do the Bear next week. That's a long time out.
It's a long time out, but it's also like
we've done all the
finale of Dragons.
Dragon. And I think that's it. It's scheduled.
Yeah, we could. I could talk to Bear all day.
I guess we could. It came out a long time ago, and I feel like it just came and went as far as like, nobody really said much about it. I didn't see anything online about it, like good or bad. It was just like, it's out, it's over, move about your day. Like, I just didn't seem like it had any kind of like staying power. It's kind of strange for a show that had been like a great show. It has been like nominated for a million different Golden Globes and Emmys and everything else. So it's kind of strange, but
very strange. And kind of like a weird, I really liked it, but kind of a weird season.
Yeah, I tweeted out our scores for it. Yeah. So Tyler's wondering, like, so Davey gave it a 5 out of 6. I gave it a 4 out of 6. I didn't really like the beginning or the end. I thought there were some parts in the middle that I was like, all right, it's back in sort of like the Bear mode. I thought everything with Carmi and Sydney was pretty bad. I was like not interested. And then I have some real questions with like some of the things they did at the end, but still like overall like good television. And I just feel like the first two seasons are like fantastic television.
Yes.
Season three was good. And then in my opinion, 4 and 5 dipped. But all good things come to an end.
But it's funny, like your interest in the show is also like Carm's interest in the restaurant, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, all right, dude, just walk away at this point. Yeah. Get out of there. All right, let's get to this, Ryan, shall we?
Y'all ready for bisque?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
You've been waiting
40
plus years for this. Ryan, I'm so glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today it is Spider-Man Brand New Day, 2 hours, 25 minutes long. Roddy T's score of 90% critic approval, 98% audience, 38th movie in the MCU. That's crazy. The fourth Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. Of course, Tom Holland has portrayed Spider-Man many more times, but it's the fourth Tom Holland Spider-Man movie and the 9th live-action Spider-Man movie. We begin, as we do with all of our movie and TV reviews, spoiler-free. Ryan, Spider-Man Brand New Day. Did you like it?
I really did. I really did like this movie for several reasons.
Okay.
That we'll get into. Did you like this movie?
I did. I did like the movie. I had high hopes for it, right? Like some of the Marvel properties that have come and gone over the last few years, like I think have been a little bit better than people say. A lot of people are like, yeah, it's Marvel died after Endgame. I'm like, disagree. I think it's been pretty good. Not all great, clearly. There's been some that have been amiss, but this wasn't one of them. And they threw a lot at it. Like, if you saw the trailer, you know how many different characters are in this thing. I was curious how it was going to play out. But for me, it was really good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like that the fact that those characters that you saw or were hinted at, they did it in such a way, we'll talk about it in spoilers, where like it made sense for what was happening. Mm-hmm. And they didn't try to shoehorn. I was feeling a little Spider-Man 3 or Raimi vibes from the trailers.
Yeah, just so many characters.
And they didn't do that. So
Yeah. Is this the best live action Spider-Man movie?
No. It's really close.
You know me, I get swept up in recency bias, as everybody who listens to the podcast knows. I feel like Homecoming might have been the best live. I still think the two Spider-Verse movies might be my two favorite Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
But put those to the side. I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man more than I like the other two guys as Spider-Man. I think Andrew Garfield's a really good Spider-Man. I think his movies aren't as strong. Tobey Maguire, I give credit to for like really help kick the door down on like comic book movies. Yep. And the first two Raimi movies are really good. But I kind of go back and forth between like Far From Home, Homecoming, Spider-Man 2. But like walking out of the theater on this one, I'm like, I don't know. I might like them. I might like this one more than the other ones. Now that might, over time, I might change my mind. But right now, I think it might be at the top of the live action.
And I think what does it for me is that the issue that everyone's had with Tom Holland's portrayal of Spider-Man to this point is he's not actually the Spider-Man we know, right? Mm-hmm. He's Tony Stark Jr. You know, this kid who doesn't really seem to struggle a lot. And here you finally see Tom Holland. You've seen Tom Holland as Spider-Man. This is the first movie you see Tom Holland as Peter Parker.
Yep.
In my mind. And he does a really fucking good job. And I think that is what will set this movie with his other three movies. Like that's what sets this apart.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again. He's been Spider-Man for like what, 8 movies?
Yeah, I think
this is the first time he's been Peter Parker.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, because there was definitely some of it in the first one, but because he makes his debut in Civil War and then that connection with Tony Stark, that changes things. Like that is definitely different. This one is like he is up against it. He is all alone. Now the difference is he's not in high school. Like he's very clearly not in high school anymore. But he's still going through a lot of those like things that are familiar with Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I think this is when he's, you know, that college age Peter Parker, when he's kind of in his prime as Spider-Man, is when that character really starts to take shape. Mm-hmm. And you saw a lot of it here. Because, like, I mean, for me, one of the best parts of, like, the animated, like, Spider-Verse movies is just, like, Peter Parker's a fucking bum. You know what I mean? Like, like in his real life, he's a fucking bum. And he doesn't want to be Spider-Man. He has to be Spider-Man. You know, and then so I think that is what you finally get from Tom Holland here. Like, I don't want to do this all the time. You know, I want to live a normal life, but I can't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The great power comes great responsibility line a little bit. That definitely comes through. We tiered all the Marvel properties a while ago. I was actually trying to pull that up. But would this be a top tier Marvel property to you? Or do you think it might be just like the one right below it? I don't want to lead the witness here. It can be anywhere you want it to be. I'm just trying to think compared
it's not,
to...
Endgame and...
it's not Infinity War. It's not...
No, Endgame. Those it's were so Guardians. Fucking good. To me, like, those two stand alone.
Yep.
And then it's right under that, though. So it's like S tier is like Infinity War, Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Then your A tier is like Guardians, these Spider-Man movies. Like, they're in that mix. Mm-hmm. It's not... You know, I would put Ragnarok in there too. It's fucking really good.
Yeah, it was fun. 2.5 hours obviously flew by. It was It was a good time. All right. Let's see. How would you assess the state of the MCU right now? It's sort of like what I was just talking about. But how, after this movie, knowing that we have Doomsday, and you can feel any way you want to feel about Doomsday. I got another trailer for it before this one coming out at the end of the year. Feige has plans for the next like 20 years or whatever. But now that we've gotten some of these ups and downs, as of today, what do you think of the MCU?
This movie did more than you think it did. Mm. And I will love to talk about it with you in about 10 minutes, but it's okay. Going, this movie, believe it or not, did something that's going to fuck up, or in a good way, like the rest of the MCU. Like things are going to start happening because of this movie. Whether you might have picked up on it or not. Like, okay. I think that there's something that happened in this movie that's going to be incredibly significant.
Yeah.
And it's going to shape not only Peter Parker, but the way things happen moving forward.
Okay. I feel like it's funny when people kind of shit on the state of the MCU and they almost, I feel like, glorify some of the older movies where there's like a lot of shit movies early.
There's a lot of shit movies early, yeah.
Phase one, I would argue, had more bad movies than good movies. If you were doing simple Roddy T score, thumbs up, thumbs down, I'd be like, thumbs up for Iron Man and the Avengers. And I'd probably go thumbs down for Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor. First Captain America, maybe thumbs up, but like borderline. You know, and like that was the first phase. And then the second phase started with Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World. Like it wasn't the worst. It wasn't always great. I do feel like phase three was pretty fucking sweet. Like phase three was so good, raised the stakes up. Phase four is where you really started to find some hit and misses. That's where you got like Eternals was in phase four. So that was really bad. But you also got No Way Home, which I really like. Spider-Man No Way Home. I really like that movie. That was at this time. Phase five, you got Guardians 3 and Deadpool and Wolverine. I loved both of those movies. And even
so good.
Thunderbolts, I thought was really good.
Thunderbolts was great. And I loved phase five. Okay, never mind.
No. I was just going to say, phase six, so far, we've only gotten Fantastic Four and Spider-Man Brand New Day. I feel like both of those movies are really good. So I think it's fair to say we'll never have the height of phase three where Infinity War and Endgame were both involved in that. Spider-Man Homecoming was in that. Black Panther, Ragnarok. We might not touch that. That's fine. Right? That's like as a Patriots fan. Like Drake May might not win six Super Bowls, but he might win one or two.
Might win one or two.
You know what I mean?
It's not like, going to be Brady DeMoss every time.
That's okay. That's okay. So I still feel like it's worth looking forward to. I think when people say like it's dying, it makes it sounds like they had like a 1,000 hit rate. Like they did not. They did not. They were bad. We saw plenty of bad comic book movies over the last 15 years. I feel like I fully expect to see great ones and bad ones for the next 15 years.
Yeah, and it's also like like you said. I mean, there's still. I think people have been accustomed to them being so good that when there is a slight dip, it hits harder.
Definitely. Yeah,
like Pixar goes through the same thing. Like their movies have been so historically so good that when there's one like a decent one, you're like, this sucks now, you know?
Yeah. So we'll get into more of this stuff in spoilers. Obviously, it's a must see, especially for the Dork Podcast and the MCU, which I think is still trucking right along. I did think, and I'll have a better answer for you in December. My expectation was this is going to be a better movie than Doomsday, but we'll see. I think it at least set the bar pretty high. So there's at least that part of it. There is an end credit scene. So for those that want to get back into the swing of that, if you haven't seen this movie yet. Huh, oh, by the way, tough ticket to get. I feel like this was one of the more... I know you went to an advanced screening with Matt
Goo. Yeah.
So for all these movies, we always see them opening weekend. And I sometimes go Friday. Sometimes I wait till Sunday, whatever. But usually if I want like a showtime, I pull it up and like, even if the theater's full, I can usually get in. I pulled up a bunch of different times in theaters and it was just like on Fandango, you look at it and it's all little Spider-Man heads all filled up. I'm like, or there'd be the occasional, like just the front row. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. It just set the record for biggest weekend opening.
I'm not surprised. I think it had, the most trailer views on the first day of 24 hours when the trailer came out. So people were jacked the fuck up for this movie. And it was a really tough ticket to get. All right, what is your dork score for Spider-Man Brand New Day?
5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5.5 as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 5.5. I think I have it right now as my fourth favorite movie of 2026 on Letterboxd, behind only The Odyssey, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, and Obsession. I think are the only three I like more
than this. And I gave The Odyssey a 6.
Yep.
This is a fucking solid-ass movie, but it's not The Odyssey, right?
Yeah,
so, true. Fair enough. The Odyssey is like generational to me, right? So that's... It's just slightly worse than that.
Dude, Tom Holland, Zendaya, and John Bernthal being
in
The Odyssey, yeah. And 2 weeks later, Spider-Man? That's insane.
And Zendaya's not done.
No, she's not. And she was already in the drama, which I also really liked. And she's going to be in Dune. Fucking A, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most competitive Jim Carrey 94 award, because Anne Hathaway is also in like 5 movies.
Yeah, and her new one said Mother, like Mother May, whatever the hell
it's called. It Mother Mary, maybe?
Mother Mary. Yeah, that's coming out this month, too.
I just watched Devil Wears Prada 2. That's streaming now. It's pretty good. It's fine.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Devil Wears Prada 2, Electric Boogaloo. Can't believe that other one came out like 20 years ago. 21 years
really?
Ago, yeah, it's like 05. Nuts.
You know what's messed up? So this isn't the same actress, but in the same ballpark. The girl who played 13-year-old Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30 is now 30 and dressed up like her, and it's pretty close. Like,
that's pretty funny.
They look kind of the same. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
they could do a new movie. Yeah. All right, very good. So I'm going 5.5. Davey is going 5.5. You can let us know if you guys are watching on YouTube right now what your dork score is for Spider-Man Brand New Day, or you can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff at Dork Podcast. Let's get to this.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, you know one thing about me, and that's I hate spoilers. I like
sure do.
I like a spoiler-free zone, and I did a good job staying off the internet. I didn't see any spoilers on Twitter, so I felt pretty good about that. However, the movie and like the movie industry can't get out of their own way where they have to tell you about casting. This movie had a million people in it, and I already knew that like the Hulk was in it. I already knew the Punisher was in it. Like, those would have been cool surprises. Then all of a sudden, months ago, they're like, Sadie Sink's in it, and I'm like, sick. I love Sadie Sink. And then you're like, oh, she's a redhead. Like, she maybe like could be Jean Grey, but they're like, we don't know who she is. She could be anybody. I'm like, all right,
she could be the new Mary Jane. She could be, you know.
Yes, whatever. Mary Jane's a good one.
Yeah.
The fucking second that somebody jumped from one head into another, like 20 minutes into the movie, somebody jumped into a head, and I'm like sitting there in the theater. I'm like, oh, she's Jean Grey. I'm like, Sadie Sink's Jean Grey. Now, I still loved the movie, but had I not known she was in it, it would have probably taken me a while to watch a Spider-Man movie where they haven't officially introduced the X-Men yet to put two and two together and even to think of Jean Grey.
Right. And it's also, but you got to figure like that's you. Like 80% of the people who see this movie have no idea. So
that's true.
My wife and daughter who like the Marvel movies, but like I had to explain to them who Jean Grey was.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, okay. Like you've seen her before, you know, and
oh, it's definitely a me problem because I'm also somebody that's like looking at shit on Twitter, and I'm the same one that's trying to avoid stuff, but then I'll be like, oh, Sadie Sink cast in Spider-Man. So like I saw that. I didn't need to see that.
No.
But I in a movie like this, all you needed to say was a new Spider-Man movie and people would have shown up. Right. But Hollywood might view it differently. So if you wanted to tease, I don't know, I guess the Hulk, because you needed somebody, you're like, well, Scorpion's not going to be the main villain. The Hand's not going to be the main villain.
Right.
And you're like, Punisher, friend or foe, you can do that for a little bit. But you're like, who's going to be like the big bad? And then like, I kind of like the idea of my enemy becomes the friend, then the enemy again. It is a classic trope in comic book movies, but I don't mind it. And I thought she was good. What did you think of Sadie Sink, Jean Grey?
She's incredible. And I think she's going to be really good moving forward. I think that's a great pick.
Yes.
You know, someone who can like... I mean, they don't just sign someone to like one movie. Marvel doesn't sign someone to one movie, right? So she's probably signed a multi-picture deal with Marvel. Mm-hmm. which great job security for people who do that, right?
Oh, huge. Yes. And then some of them get so famous, then they're like, well, now I'm stuck doing all these Marvel movies. I'm like, sorry, you're making like $10 million.
Wah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry about your art.
I know. But then they end up coming back to it, i.e. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr. So it's like, can't be that bad. But yeah, no, she was great, and that power is obviously crazy. Is Jean Grey, actually, I'll ask this question coming up in a little bit.
It's also like, what was I going to say?
What, the casting part of it, or just?
No, there was something I was going to say about.
Telepath.
Oh, like, no, you were talking about like Sadie Sink and like how good she is. Like, she was probably the best at every kid in that Stranger Things group. She has become like the best actor of that group.
Yeah. Was it season 4, right? Where she was like getting fucked with like by Vecna, like the worst. Season 4. That was, it was like clear. You're like, oh, she's the best actress on this show. Like,
and then
they're good kid actors, but you're like, she's next level.
Yeah. And like Millie Bobby Brown, like kind of fell off, and she was like, oh, wait, no, this kid's the real deal. Yeah. And it was when I saw her in like that Fear Street movie where I was like, whoa, like she can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was really good. John Bernthal, my guy, The Punisher, also my guy in this big screen live action debut for, well, at least for him. I mean, we've obviously seen the Netflix series and his appearances in Daredevil. I was a little worried about this, and I was pleasantly surprised how it turned out. The trailers made it out to be, like you said, a little Spider-Man 3-ish, or it was just going to be like, oh, Frank, don't you say that, and just kind of clowning on him. There was one part I didn't love, where he like chickens out on fighting the Hulk, and I'm like, not sure Punisher would do that. Now, maybe he did in the comic, but I'm like,
it was funny, yeah. But I think they did that appropriately, where like that character's so hardcore.
Yeah. Yes.
And like working together, like you need to, you know.
Yeah, but it is funny when Spider-Man's like, dude, this is not like this is the Hulk on the other side.
Like, yeah, you don't belong here. I told you not to come. You know,
I do like the mix. And we were screaming about this since the first days of the podcast. This was one of there was two platforms I ran on. Keep your masks on if you're a comic book character. If you're a superhero, keep your mask on. And Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and The Punisher, and Luke Cage, and Iron Fist should be at least mentioned or seen in the movies. That was like all I wanted.
I initially, my knee-jerk reaction coming out of the movie was like, well, where the fuck was Daredevil?
Yeah, true.
But I now see it as like, that would have felt like a shoehorn. That would have felt like you forced it in there, and like, that's fine. Like, we can put the brakes on that. But yeah, there's the punch and shoot. And also, I was going to say, and I stopped myself, like having Yelena be in this briefly.
Fantastic.
She's so good.
One of the best scenes in the whole movie is her in her office, which is just like Russian bath. And then I knew it was coming as soon as she was like, you got to get in here. And then he's like, what? And then he comes back with just the head mask on.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. Great scene. And then he calls her back and she's in there again. He's like, oh, that is your office.
Wow. That really is your office.
And then she sees like MJ and Ned. She goes, hello. Like,
she's
fucking electric.
Just the most adorable person on the planet right now. Well, to me,
one of my concerns was, you saw in like Thor, Love and Thunder, and the She-Hulk, some of the series and movies, even Black Panther, they were really trying to go for like a pass the torch thing, right? They're like, all these characters, like now they're kids. Even Ant-Man was doing like, all their kids are going to be heroes. And I'm like, I don't think I want the other version. But then you get this version of Black Widow and you're like, this is better. And ScarJo was great. Like, I had no problem with ScarJo. I even liked the ScarJo standalone movie. It was 5 years too late, but it was a good movie. She's a better Black Widow. She's more interesting and entertaining on screen than ScarJo was.
And you knew it immediately too during Hawkeye with her and Kate Bishop interacting. Like, this is what I want. I want
that's
this.
That's another possible upgrade, actually.
Yeah.
Hawkeyes, switching out the Hawkeyes from Clint to her. That might be good. Yeah, but that was a great detail. And you're like, man, as they're juggling this, you're like, they're doing a good job of getting all these characters some like playing time.
Yeah.
Because you get the early Punisher cameo where he's got like the gun in the car, and it's like a pretty funny one where he like takes the gun and he throws it and he just pulls another one out, like a little fucking like mini bazooka or whatever. He like pulls the next one out. Like, that's pretty funny. And then it's the scene from the trailer where Frank's about to say fuck, and so he puts like the webbing on his face. And then he's gone for a while, and I'm like, dude, Punisher better come back. And he did, and he was like a pretty significant character. He had like a hideaway. And I think Punisher interacting with MJ was also some of the best stuff in the whole movie.
She, and again, like, not to give her flowers too early, but like, Zendaya is remarkable. Yeah. And there's a scene in this movie. And so, but to your point, like, it was good for her to say to him, like, you need to help him. This is a person who needs help.
Yeah.
You can't leave him to do this by himself. You need to help him. Right.
Yeah. That was really good.
And even if she tells him to his face, I don't care about you. Like, I don't love you. Yeah. I don't know you.
Right. And then even like the little Staten Island line, they kept referring to Spider-Man saved Punisher. Now, I know they won't be able to get Tom Holland because it'll be too expensive, but what a great Marvel Disney Plus special. Like, you know how they do like those 45-minute episodes, like Werewolf by Night? They should do a fucking episode of Spider-Man saving Punisher on Staten Island.
And so, like, what I don't get, right? How much money do you think Tom Holland made from this movie? And well, how much do you think Tom Holland loves being Spider-Man?
He reportedly made $10 million for The Odyssey. So I didn't see anything for Spider-Man. I feel like he plays a much bigger role in Spider-Man.
It's on like box office. Maybe he does like the thing where it's like points, right?
If he gets some of that, then he makes a shit ton. Yeah.
If it were me, and I'm saying this now from my, literally my armchair, right? Mm-hmm. So armchair Spider-Man, right? Armchair Marvel actor. Wouldn't you do that for free?
Yeah, at this point, first of all, you got to be like a 100 millionaire with all the different.
Who cares?
And you're married to Zendaya, so like, just keep making Spider-Man movies.
And like, as long as until the wheels fall off, right? Until I can't do it anymore, like, I'm gonna be, because this is, and again, I think this is the defining moment for this, for Tom Holland, is he is now Spider-Man, right?
Well,
there is
a shelf life though. He just turned 30 this year, which is still young in real world.
But and he like, still looks 17.
He does. So, yeah. He definitely pulls that off. But when he made Spider-Man, he was 20.
Yeah.
Or when did Civil War came out? He might've been, no. Yeah. He was 20, I think, in Civil War. So like, kind of perfect cast. He might've even filmed it when he was 19. So like, that was kind of perfect casting. And he has like a young look about him anyway.
But there will come a time where he's done with it. But I think he is now the gold standard for Spider-Man. And I think the other two provided kind of like the blueprint, and like, they're both similar failings and successes and what they did. Like you said, I think Andrew Garfield is probably the best looking Spider-Man, like the way he's supposed to look.
Hmm. I don't know. I think Holland. Yeah, maybe.
I think a little more gangly. Like a little.
Oh, yeah.
He's very muscly.
Holland is kind of jacked, but like, I don't know. He has more of like the young feature. Like, those other two guys looked like they were on like Beverly Hills 90210.
Like, well, that's like, that's the issue with Tobey Maguire. He was like 30 when he was playing a high schooler, you know?
Yeah, that was too much.
Yeah.
I did think the scenes with Spider-Man / Peter with MJ and Ned, as we know what happened at the last movie, and so they don't remember him. And like, even just him, I thought it was a good touch, like him watching the Instagram stories over the course of 4 years. Oh, also, I meant to mention this off the rip. At the very, very, very beginning of the movie, when they did like the Marvel like insignia, and they like had like a brief, like, it was almost like a previously on in the Marvel graphic as it like slipped over. That was a cool idea. That was good.
Yeah. But it's also like, when I was talking about Zendaya, and I was going to get to this point, like, the scene with them on the rooftop where she's like, they're having like the conversation, and there's such good chemistry. They're husband and wife, and how good of an actor, actress you have to be to make it convincing that you, one, don't love this person, and two, don't know who they are, is crazy.
Right. To me. And I think it made sense. I think Zendaya overall is a better actress than Tom Holland is an actor, like in real life. So like, for Tom Holland to look across and be like, I love you, like, you don't even have to act, dude. You're just doing your life. Whereas like, she, you're right, she has to kind of really act her tail off. But like, just the whole thing and like how important it was for them. And then like, you know, what would you do in that situation? And there's like when he goes to like the donut shop that one time and then he like chickens out and then he's just like, I think I'm doing what's best. And I don't know. That one's tough.
But it's also like, this is what I mean. Like I've read so much Spider-Man and like the best version of Peter Parker is like, he fucks up all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's one huge fuck up that he makes in this movie that we haven't realized yet. Right. Mm-hmm. That I bet is going to pay off down the road.
Okay.
But like this character continuously fucks up and continuously does things wrong, but keeps going anyway. And that is the, and I think that is what we've been missing from this character for so long is that like everything's kind of worked out for him.
Right, right, right.
Other than, you know, other than May dying and like that was the start of it. Like that was the start, like, oh shit, this is like, I can screw up. Like I can make really big mistakes because we didn't really get his Ben, right? That wasn't the catalyst for him.
No.
And so what I'm alluding to, right, is that chip that he designs for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Is now going to, they're going to take that and use it against all of the X-Men. Like that is going to be, and it's going to be his fault.
Oh, I like that.
Like they are going to try to do that to suppress mutant genes.
Yeah.
And he is going to be named as the person who invented that. And it's going, they're going to turn on him.
I like, no, that's pretty good. Yeah. So sort of similar to like, I mean, they'll do it better than this, but like in sort of like in Last Stand where like
right.
you go and like get your powers taken away kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, this guy created.
Yeah, this was designed by Spider-Man.
Yeah, because they definitely
Jean Grey.
They definitely make a couple of references to like, dude, are you sure you know what you're doing with this?
Yeah,
like this is
and
next. This
Bruce
is next
Banner's like, how can you? What do you? How do you decide what's good and what's bad?
Oh yeah, right.
And it's not universal. It's not something that you can. And he's trying to do the best with what he has, but he can't see. He doesn't understand like what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a huge, and it's going to be a huge rift between him and Jean Grey moving forward.
Oh yeah. Oh, you better believe it.
Because she's going to see that for the first time that they're using this technology on people like her. And she's going to be like, you fucking did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of Bruce Banner, what did you think of the Hulk?
Mark I am so happy to have a legitimate Hulk back.
Yeah, I think that was missing. And I understand why you have to sort of put him on the sidelines for a little bit, because in reality, he's just so goddamn powerful. Yeah. And if you're not going to do like a real on like World War Hulk type of thing, and maybe you can build back to that, which I like.
You could. After like, Battle World, you could go back to that.
That's what I'm thinking, because you go Professor Hulk here for like a little bit, and he's doing more of that, like literally Professor Hulk in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, now it's kind of like unleashed Hulk, you know what he's capable of, and then you're like, I kind of like it. I kind of like the idea of him circling back and being like standing in the way of somebody, or even this one was good, like there where she was like manipulating him, like that was great. There's nobody you'd want to manipulate more. In fact, I think he would have caused a little bit more damage. I feel like he would have fucked shit up more.
And I think something's going to happen moving forward with that character where like we just with like the Illuminati or whatever, but like we need to get rid of him. Like we if this is going to we got to get rid of this guy, because this is that's how Planet Hulk starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Reed Richards and
Reed Richards
with Tony Stark, but like being like he's going to go
in Black Bolt, I think, from the Inhumans. I don't think we're going to see him.
No,
I don't think he's circling back from the ABC show.
No,
but yeah, no. I thought Hulk was good. I thought he was used well. The interaction. So like,
but even that throwaway line where he's like, I didn't know you could get that big.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, because like, oh, because he's that's a different Hulk than what you've seen.
That was really cool.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. But also going back to the end of No Way Home, and like Peter makes this deal with Doctor Strange, he's like, no one's gonna know who he is. So it went from like the world, it was announced Peter Parker is Spider-Man, to now nobody does. And so even like Bruce Banner, one of the smartest guys in the world, has like worked with him, knows who he is. He sees him, has no idea who he is.
Yeah.
His girlfriend has no idea. His best friend has no idea. But like one of his fellow Avengers also has no idea.
And I like the idea that Jean kind of screwing with them.
Yeah.
Undid a little bit of that at a time.
Yeah. You know what's fucked up though is, and this is one of the questions I was going to ask. Does MJ ever remember who Peter is. And one thing that stands out is Jean Grey was in MJ's head for a while. Mm-hmm. And unless Jean Grey was just lying to him, which I guess is a possibility, just to fuck with him, she's like, oh yeah, you weren't anywhere in there.
I think, yeah, but she had, yeah, but she might have been able to put it back in.
Oh, maybe. You think Jean would help people remember that?
Because
she used her power to, oh.
It's funny because they talk about
interesting
MJ and Ned be like, no, Spider-Man was with us. And like they couldn't figure out why. Like he was there when they were like in Europe. He was there.
Right. Yeah, so they do.
In DC.
So, yeah, it's not like they don't remember Spider-Man. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
But they don't remember
Peter. They just can't connect.
But they don't remember Peter Parker, though.
Right.
Because they're like, Spider-Man saved us four times. But like they see his face and they're just like, who are you? So like that time in high school does not exist anymore for them.
And I think.
Or at least with him.
At the end with Ned. I think Jean did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. That was going to be another one of my questions. So you think Jean threw that in there? Because how else is Ned going to do the handshake?
And she knows that you need friends.
Yeah, they definitely lay that on pretty thick, but I think it's fine. But it's like even Black Widow's like, you're by yourself? Like you have nobody? Like,
but you also assume that Jean is seen getting on a bus and going to like upstate New York. So you assume that she's going where she's going. Yeah. Right, she's going to be. What's the name of what town is Xavier school in?
Oh fuck! What was the name of the town? I forget. But yeah,
that's where she's going. Right, you assume that's where she's going.
Yeah.
And he's somehow compelled her to go there. Right, he's like found her and is trying to get her to go there. And I think I don't know if MJ ever if she does that for him. Or he just has to move on.
I don't think so. Although you hear these weird stories sometimes where they're like, somebody gets amnesia or whatever, like loses their memory, and they're like either married or in a long-term relationship, and then they like re-fall in love with the same person, but it's like based on like new memories. Now that's like a Lifetime movie thing, but like you see it pop up like on TMZ every once in a while, and you're like, oh, like somebody that like completely forgotten somebody, and then they ended up back together, and you're like, so maybe like, because they had like really good chemistry, obviously. But
obviously, yeah.
But I mean, even with Ned and like those scenes where like the three of them are kind of hanging out together. And then even MJ is like, she's like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't remember you. But she's like, you should tell him. Like, he can handle it. Like, if all this stuff is true.
And it's funny because someone pointed out that when she drew the picture of them, she drew him in his No Way Home suit, not the recent suit.
Oh. That's cool.
Like somehow that penny's dropped. She just doesn't know it. Like, but she know there's something in there, but she doesn't.
It could be in there.
Yeah. But if you look at the picture, it's not the same suit he wears.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Also in this movie, you get Scorpion, Tombstone briefly. He's webbed to a wall. You have the hand and you have damage control, which you know you can never trust.
And you saw for a split second, you saw Ramrod.
Oh,
Boomerang and Tarantula in that whole montage.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he was putting away a lot of villains. Also, what was pretty amazing is the sheer number of good TV actors and actresses. So Sadie Sink plucks her from Stranger Things. Then they get Tina from The Bear. She's a police officer that works with Peter Parker. You get Milchick from Severance.
Mm-hmm.
He's working in damage control. Matt Gorgon was actually from Breaking Bad. The guy
more Saul.
Yeah. Or actually, Better Call Saul. I'm sorry, Better Call Saul. And then even, I know he's John Bernthal now, but you could even take John Bernthal from The Walking Dead. Be like, I have all these guys. Oh, you want to know a funny thing that I read when I was reading my horror movie book?
Hmm.
The Walking Dead. So you know how Frank Darabont brought that to the screen, right? And he had just done The Mist with Thomas Jane. He wanted Thomas Jane to play Rick Grimes. And Thomas Jane had a contract with HBO. He was doing the show Hung.
Oh, that was a good show.
It was a pretty funny show, but not The Walking Dead. And he couldn't get at it, but he wanted to do it. And then he was like, maybe come over to like, maybe The Walking Dead could be on HBO. And HBO was like, like we just said True Blood. Like we don't want to be like the horror station. So like HBO turned down The Walking Dead. Therefore, Thomas Jane couldn't do that role. And then another funny story is Andrew Lincoln, who did play Rick Grimes, the original idea for the Warrens and The Conjuring was Andrew Lincoln and Michelle Monaghan.
Ooh.
And they both said no.
How about that?
Yeah.
So HBO has now passed on South Park, Chappelle's Show, and Walking Dead.
Yeah, like three of the 10 biggest shows ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they don't need the help. I mean, they've had yeah, bigger shows than that, but still.
All right, this is a tough one for this movie. The Podium, our top three characters from a show or movie. Who would be on the podium, gold, silver, and bronze?
I was very impressed with Tom Holland's performance as Peter Parker, right? The organic web thing I thought was cool. I did think that was cool. And
did look a lot like a sad cum a little bit when he was like shooting it out of his wrist.
There was one where he like pushed on it when they like I was like out. I looked at like I was sitting next to Mac and I'm like you know like and there was that time where he like it just kind of like was just like shooting out of him like all over the place, and I said there's got to be like a new puppet gif for you. It's just that's webs just everywhere, webs you know? Everywhere.
It was a spooky ghost.
Yeah.
So yeah, the candidates I would say is obviously Peter Parker, Spider-Man,
yeah,
MJ, Jean Grey, Ned, the Punisher, Black Widow, Metzger, what's his name, Milchick from Severance, who works for Damage Control, Bruce Banner. Now we're probably getting a little bit deeper into the weeds. So yeah, I feel like Peter Parker and MJ should probably be in there, but then at the same time, like I think Jean Grey and Black Widow and Punisher.
So my
what do you
final
got?
Answer would be okay. Peter Parker, gold.
Yep.
Jean Grey, silver. MJ, bronze would be my.
Okay. I'm going to go Peter Parker, gold. I agree. This was a great Spider-Man performance and Peter Parker performance. He got to do both. So that kind of gives him the benefit. I'm going to go Jean Grey. Just to see her MCU debut. I like Sadie Sink a lot. I would say her silver.
And she's going to be so, she's going to be so important moving forward.
And then, man, this is so tough because I feel like MJ and Black Widow are so good, but I also thought the Punisher was really good. I'm going to go with Bernthal on this. I just love Bernthal. I thought he looked great. I thought his back and forth with Spider-Man is awesome. And obviously those guys have,
And him bailing him out at the end was cool too. Putting on the mask and being like,
hilarious. But then him also shooting him, but then being like, fuck. But then he was there and he was sorry. Yeah. Then he's like, I never had any friends like you. Like, it's a little like an emotional thing. You know, he's like,
Are we friends now? No, there was a moment too where MJ looks at like the pictures of his family.
Yeah.
And he's like, snapped, I'm like,
don't
like,
fucking ask him about
but
that.
But he snapped into like, the real Frank Castle for like a split second. And you're like, and he reminded you that like, if you've seen it, like he's still there. It's not like a goofy sidekick. Like he is still in there.
Yeah. But that was also such a great conversation that he had with Peter being like, you think like I'm fucking doing this. Like I want to do this. Like this is, I have to do this now. Like I was with the people that I love. They're gone. So now this is what I've become.
This is what it is.
The people that you love are still here. And obviously you got to jump over some hurdles here, but like you love her, but you're like choosing not to be with her. And like, that's an insane premise to Frank Castle. If Frank Castle's wife was still alive,
I would not be doing that. I would stop immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
I would give everything up for that.
That was like, that is his origin story. Like that is how he became that character or that fucking.
And he said, you have people in your life who care about you and you're choosing not to be with them.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Fucked up to me.
Like, that's the opposite of me.
Yeah, we are not the same.
Yeah, so good options for the podium. All right, so a couple of my questions. We already sort of answered these, but does Ned remember him after the handshake? I like your theory about Jean Grey. Same with MJ. I'm leaning towards no, that she ever actually remembers him, but I think she's like at least open-minded. She's not like you're crazy. She's just like, I don't remember.
No, I think she believes him. But I don't think she.
Oh, yeah. Jason in the chat, when Peter starts laughing, he's like, are you crying? He's like, no, of course I'm not crying. So that got me thinking when he was interacting with the Punisher, when he was, or when Punisher was interacting with Spider-Man, when he was talking to MJ, and then when he was like shooting at the Hulk, I thought all that was good. And then it got me wondering, like, who else would you like to see the Punisher interact with in the MCU?
Oh, now Yelena, for sure. Like, and all the Thunderbolts, all the point and shoot, the was a punch, yes, and punch and shoot guys.
There's small potatoes. This sounds like small potatoes. See, oh, I do big potatoes. You're doing small potatoes.
Could you imagine him talking to like,
so good.
Was it U.S. agent? And be like, what the fuck, dude?
Oh yeah, U.S. agents are a really good one.
Or like Bucky, or like him and Bucky Barnes having a conversation.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, honestly, anybody, like, cause he's just going full Bernthal, and then he's talking to like Thor. That would be funny.
The Fantastic I would love.
Well, he should talk to the Fantastic Four. That should happen.
Yeah, but I would love for him and Yelena to like have like an R-rated spinoff.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Where they're literally just like cutting people's heads off, just like blowing people. Them up.
Like, yeah. Even like I don't know if we'll ever see him again, but like Deadpool and Wolverine with the Punisher would be.
Oh, all three of them would just hate each other.
Yes,
which I love.
And they would just try to like one up each other by killing people in just crazy ways.
I love. There was a line where like Peter or Spider-Man was telling the Punisher, he's like, "Fucking stop shooting the Hulk! Stop shooting him! Like you're just making him mad."
He goes running in with a gun, shooting the Hulk. It was like,
"Stop!
Yeah, that's not. You're not helping at all,
and you're actually making it worse.
Yeah, you're pissing him off." Well, so maybe the Hulk's the answer, but my other question is, just in the MCU, so forget about like comic books or video games or like non-MCU, but like in the 38 movies that we've seen, is Jean Grey the strongest character? So yeah, like,
I mean,
Thanos is different because like Thanos had the gauntlet. So if any character has the gauntlet, I would kind of remove that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like superheroes, whether they be mutant or like created,
I think
to be on the short list.
Yeah, I think there's a handful of characters. If you know that other heroes are afraid of them,
yeah,
Jean Grey and Scarlet Witch like immediately come to mind of like people who like they're just afraid of.
Good
one. Sentry's another one.
Yes. Yeah.
Where like heroes are afraid of them as heroes, like they're unpredictable.
Adam Warlock probably should have been, but I don't know if it came out the best.
But like Magneto's one too, because you don't really know like.
Yeah. Well, known Omega level mutants. This is just mutants, but like, so obviously not a lot of them have even debuted in the MCU. But like, yeah, Jean Grey would have to be up there. Let's see. Strongest characters in MCU. What do you think they say? I mean,
Hulk, like Galactus and Silver Surfer. And
yeah.
But like,
oh, yeah, this is a good list. Loki, Scarlet Witch, Eternity. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about Loki. Loki's a good one. Doctor Strange, if you're going to go that route.
Yeah.
Ego, Captain Marvel and Thor, I would say are both way up there.
But they're too good. They're never going to turn on anybody.
No, they're not going to turn on anybody. But as far as like the powers that they have.
Straight power. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. 10
Hulk's got to be there.
10 most powerful characters ranked by strength, according to Collider. Number 10, Doctor Strange. Number 9, Franklin Richards.
Franklin Richards is, I think,
that's,
we're going to see him soon, and he'll be that's one. The one people are going to like be very afraid of.
Loki, they're projecting this one because we've really barely seen him, but Doctor Doom, he would have to be. Hulk, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel, Thor, Thanos, Galactus, and Scarlet Witch. So this list came out before we saw Jean Grey. Yeah. But yeah, she's right in there. She's right on that short list.
There's a great line that I guess is in the trailer that we didn't see. The one that was in San Diego Comic-Con where it said that Thor says to Dr. Doom, he's going to like bring hell to him. And he says, hell answers to me.
Oof.
I'm like, oh. Like, okay.
Oh, I mean, I still have like mixed feelings about this.
No, I think it's going to be good.
Okay. All right. Are they going to explain why Dr. Doom looks like Iron Man?
I don't think you're going to see his face.
So, or flip side, we're dealing with like next level stuff, right? And mm-hmm. So I wonder if somehow, some way he's like in this dimension or this, whatever, this world, Iron Man was one of their big heroes. Like, I will take the face of Iron Man. And also the Chris Evans that we see is not Captain America, but he is taking the face of the, like, these are the two most trusted people that they've ever had in their world. And now the two big villains, they're not really them, but like, we're going to take on these forms. I wonder if there's something like that.
I also think that there is going to be a version of Tony Stark that comes back.
Tony Stank.
And they fake, and like Doom takes off the mask and they're like face to face.
I could, yeah. Even same with like the Captain America thing though. They gotta, how are they gonna explain that?
It's Nomad or something, right? It's not Captain America. He's Nomad or something.
Haley Atwell's in this movie, I think.
But he also recognizes Thor.
Yeah. Well,
so I don't know how they're gonna do that.
I don't know what the fuck. And he holds on to Mjolnir. Hold on to Mjolnir. Yeah. So the end credits of this movie too is just basically like Ned. Oh, another thing that made me laugh was the spider tracker that Ned created. So clearly, like, Ned's obsessed with Spider-Man. So I think eventually, like, he'll be the man in the chair again. But
or Hobgoblin, which Ned does become Hobgoblin.
Or Hobgoblin. Also, I would love to one day get to Hobgoblin. That'd be sick. Yep. But when he has the spider tracker, and then you realize that Punisher in his van also has the spider tracker. Fucking hilarious. But basically, the end credits is just the spider tracker goes up and he's like in outer space or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Very good. So that's, we'll see him again in Doomsday. So is he for sure in Doomsday? He has to be, right?
A Spider-Man is in Doomsday. We know that.
Cause like, goddamn, Tom Holland. That is quite a year.
For sure.
Holy mackerel. All right. Anything else on this, this great film?
No, this is great. See it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually not listed for Doomsday,
of course not. Yeah. But Tobey Maguire has been linked to it, so there is a Spider-Man. Is what I mean. It may not be him, but
all right. Well, I'm excited. I am cautiously optimistic for that.
Yep.
I don't know what order. Are you going to see that one first, and then Dune, or Dune and that one?
Yeah.
Avengers first. Yeah, okay. That'll be a hell of a double dork. I'll tell you.
I was thinking about it too. They're like, yeah, it has to be. But also, people are like, oh, they're splitting the butt. Real people, if we want to see it that bad, we'll see both.
We will see both.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see both. All right, very good. So next week, we're definitely doing House of the Dragon finale with Shine. Mm-hmm. The other episode, TBD, maybe it'll be the bear, maybe it'll be something else, because I think X-Men 97 might wrap up in like 2 weeks. So I think we're a little ways away from X-Men 97. But we can let you guys know on Twitter at Dork Podcast, Instagram at Dork Podcast. And of course, we stream these bad boys live Monday nights on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can subscribe there. Check out the podcast wherever you get it. Davey, stay hard and stay curious.
The hashtag Dork Podcast.